This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Micah Parsons isn't the only Dallas Cowboy that's got to get a contract this offseason. That here in a couple of minutes. Sean and RJ, 105.3. The Fan. We got a Rangers ticket giveaway coming up here in the commercial-free expressway. We got a game tonight, Bobby Belt, right here on 105 through The Fan.
Yes, the Texas Rangers will be back at Globe Life Field tonight. It is an exhibition game against the Kansas City Royals, but they will be back at Globe Life Field. It is a 7:05 first pitch today. And then tomorrow, I think they're playing again, and I think it's at noon.
Holy smokes!
So if you want to go out to the ballpark, I know my wife will be out there today and tomorrow. So if you want to go out there,
The Fan.
Yeah.
6:35 pregame.
Yes, exactly. So they will be out there, Rangers back in the ballpark for the next 2 days. And then Thursday, we get opening day, 3:05 against the Boston Red Sox. And KNC Masterpiece will be out there from 10 to 2. And then we will be out at Keller Fire Station number 1 on Friday with Eric Chiafalo.
Always gutsy letting us out of the studio, but our firehouse tours are back until the winter. Basically, until the winter, they are back.
Yeah, and so we'll have
year number 3.
We'll have Sean and RJ firehouse aprons for you. So for the grill masters out there, and then we'll have free Whataburger while supplies last for breakfast.
Let's go around the NFL real quick before we get to the Cowboys. Brandon Cooks has a new home.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks, who had said some controversial things about the Dallas Cowboys recently. Not anything that I think we disagreed with, but just said, look, they've got their own priorities right now. And, if I go back there, I need to be used in the right sort of way. Well, he has gotten a reunion. The New Orleans Saints are reuniting with wide receiver Brandon Cooks 8 years after they traded him to the New England Patriots. 2 years, $13 million. So that's $6.5 million a year, which is lower than what he was getting here in Dallas at the end. Is that a deal you would have been interested in? Or do you just say, nope, this ran its course, and I think Brandon Cooks is kind of what he
is. 2 for $13 million?
Yep.
Man, that's affordable.
It is.
That's something they would have done. I could have been talked into it. I think it ran its course, but I could have been talked into it. That's such a cheap number for a player. It's just what does he have left? What are his? You have to look at his metrics. Was he was never, Kellen wasn't here when he was. They didn't cross paths here, right? He came after.
No. Yeah,
they just missed each other.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not crying over it. I could have been talked into it. $6.5 million is nothing.
Yeah, I think that if you're just talking about you need a value and you need somebody who's going to basically just be a baseline contributor for you at the number two receiver, he can be that if you use him the correct way. But the problem is Dallas didn't always consistently use him the right way. And right now, I don't feel like they've got a legitimate, I don't think they have a legitimate three right now, to be honest, much less a legitimate two. But so you're going to be asking
their
somebody.
Their legitimate two might be a legitimate three.
You're asking a questionable three to be your two. Mm-hmm. And that's a big ask. At the very least, I know Brandon Cooks is a legit three.
I think he's a very good three at this point in his career. That's where it ends. You're going to have to get a legit two. And that may be coming in the draft. We don't know. They can always draft somebody. And I think that, this whole idea that the Bengals didn't need to sign T. Higgins because they already had Ja'Marr Chase. No, you really do need two legit wide receivers. I mean, the number two wide receiver is a starting position on the end, and it's no different than your right tackle.
Yeah.
It's a starting position. You got to have it, especially in today's world, or today's NFL. So Cooks gets a deal with New Orleans. Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't have a deal, and the decision might come after the draft, but he was in Pittsburgh. over the weekend. I got a text from my guy Chris Mack at Pittsburgh. He joined us during Steelers week. We played them. And he was like, It's happening. He's in the building. Can't let him out of the building. They want him there. But he does leave the building.
Yeah, he does leave the building, doesn't ultimately get it done. But I think it's indicative, given the next story we're going to talk about here before we jump into the Cowboys, I think it's indicative that right now it's Pittsburgh or bust. Either he signs with the Steelers or he hangs it up or he waits around until August and just says, let me see if anybody gets hurt. Yep. I still think Pittsburgh and Rodgers is a great fit.
Yeah, I think it's good.
All the success that he clearly had, as odd of a fit as it seemed like Rodgers in Green Bay was, that proved to kind of be the exact type of environment that he needed. And there's nothing that's more AFC Green Bay than Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. That's 100% what it is. So to me, I think he'd be beloved in Pittsburgh. I think he's familiar with that kind of a community, that kind of a feel, just given what he did in Green Bay for as long as he did. Jets was too big. New York was too big a scenario to try and execute what he wanted to do, just like when Favre went to the Jets and it melted down. I think Pittsburgh's a great fit for him, and I ultimately would like to see him play there if he's going to extend his career. Otherwise, yeah, just hang it up. We've all had enough.
Now, what do you think, though, of the fact that he might now wait until after the draft? And look, I don't think it's a big deal. He's not going to OTAs and minicamp anyway. And if he does, you're lucky. You got to count on him not being there. So, you know, maybe he's waiting for a quarterback of a different team to trip over their dog like Derek Holland did.
Yeah.
You know? Or get suspended for the year for something, you know, a gambling scandal or whatever, right? They're looking for something. Maybe other teams that are high enough in the draft that don't land the quarterback they're looking for, and he gets another option. But right now, because you're right, because we are going to talk about the Giants in a second, it does look like Pittsburgh or bust. So if you're him, it's like even more. You weren't even in a rush to begin with. Now it's even more of a no rush.
Yeah, because it's one suitor at the moment. It's one suitor. See if it's a fit. And if it isn't, you'll just wait around for something to open up. Ultimately, again, if he's going to play, I think Pittsburgh is the fit. Don't wait around for something else. Go there. And if it doesn't work out, fine. Just retire. Just hang it up. You've been around for long enough.
I absolutely hate this, but the Giants did something smart at quarterback. They have signed Jameis Winston to a 2-year deal. Now, this does a couple of things. One, it basically ensures that they won't win because Jameis doesn't win.
But not frequently. His best year, he was 9-7.
But two, it also says something really, really bad for all of us. It makes the Giants watchable. And that means that they are going to shoehorn them into every stinking primetime game that they can find. There is now, like, before that, the networks knew the Giants were not watchable, but the networks need no excuses, zero, to put them on primetime games. But Jameis makes them watchable. They'll score a ton of points. They'll be on TV, and we don't need that. We don't need the Giants on TV. They're a non-factor. But now they're going to be all over it.
Well, and this is a case of Jameis is just dangerous enough to either
give them hope.
Yeah, just to make he will make a difference in the game. Like, he's dangerous enough to either win the game because he gets hot, or he's dangerous enough to just lose it. And either way, he's going to be a major impact as to why did this game turn out the way it did.
He's a great quote. He is awesome. I can't wait for his post-career podcast. Maybe put him on TV.
He was good at the Super Bowl.
He was fantastic. He will throw for 500 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions.
Yep.
And it is going to be, it is must-see TV. He literally is must-see TV. But the Giants are just boring. But now they're kind of like, all right.
I mean, they'll be able to push the ball because he will take chances. He'll push the ball down the field. He'll try to be aggressive. That'll be good for Malik Nabers. But yeah, it's obviously, if you're running with Jameis Winston next year, you're not necessarily thinking, oh, we're going to win the Super Bowl. By the way, 12 touchdown passes next year. That's all he needs. 12, Chop, to pass Troy Aikman on the all-time touchdowns list.
Are you kidding me?
He needs 12 touchdown passes.
Oh, God.
That's it.
Oh, my God.
He's at 154 right now. Troy had 165. But he needs 12 touchdown passes. He's still 31 interceptions away from passing Troy for interceptions.
Oh.
If he throws for 12 touchdowns and 30 interceptions next year, he will pass Troy for touchdown passes and tie him for interceptions.
Does Troy have more interceptions than touchdowns?
No, it's just right now, it's the discrepancy isn't as tight on Jameis. You think 165 touchdowns to 141 picks for Troy. And Winston is 154 touchdowns to 111 interceptions.
I'm thrown. I would not have guessed Troy had that many interceptions.
No. I mean, a lot of it got skewed very early on when he played.
Was 1-15 year just pick central?
So he was 18 picks that year in 11 starts. He had 18 picks his second year. Then the last years he had 12 and 14. In between there, he was one of the better quarterbacks at not turning the ball over.
Okay. I mean, that makes a little bit more sense. Todd Archer had an article talking about the Cowboys' biggest offseason concern is not the Micah Parsons contract, not just the Micah contract, but there are also three key members that are in position to sign extensions. Tyler Smith has his fifth-year option for 2026 at a cost of $21 million. Jake Ferguson and Deron Bland are about to enter the final year of their rookie deals. If you, Bobby, were to kind of put these based on the market for each, you know, what is the most, hey, you got to do this right now outside of Micah. You got to do this right now. And the one that you can wait the longest on.
The one you need to get done now, like have to, is Deron Bland.
That because of Deron or because of the corner market?
Yes.
All right.
Both. I mean, the corner market's starting to shoot up. He's in the last year of his deal.
So he's not coming to camp without a deal, and neither's Ferg.
I don't think Bland will. Yeah, I would think Bland might not show up if he doesn't have a deal. I don't know that for certain. He's also just he's wired different. It's one of the reasons they love him. So he might be one of these guys who just says, I'd show up. But most players in his position would not. Ferguson, I don't think Ferguson would hold out for a contract because I don't think he's at the top of the market. It's not the same sort of standoff. Tyler Smith, he'll be there. Tyler Smith is not in the last year of his deal. The one that's the most urgent to me is Bland because, like I said, corner market's going up, keeps getting more expensive every day. He's in the last year of his deal. You want to get that handled. Tyler Smith can wait the longest. You should get it done early. You should get ahead of things. But Tyler Smith this will be the fourth year. Mm-hmm. He's got his fifth year option. Like, he's got some room here where you don't have to get that done right now. And then the one that I would think would be the easiest to get done to me would be Jake Ferguson, though. That's the one that right now you're probably buying a little low, given how things went last year, which was he had a disappointing year. It was not as good as you wanted it to be. I know he got banged up a little bit, but even before that, it wasn't as good as everybody had projected, as everybody was really hoping it would be. So his value is probably a little bit lower right now than it would have been if he would have replicated mm-hmm. his second year. And so to me, that's the one that, hey, buy now on that. Try to buy now, get that one done. That one shouldn't be too ridiculous. You expect that he's going to play better. So just lock that one in.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's obvious the sooner the better on the corner market. It's so expensive. So the sooner the better on Bland. And like you said, I don't think he's going to be in camp. I wouldn't. If I was, you know, most people in his situation would not be in camp. You know, I think you could drag your feet on Ferg if you want to, because I'll tell you this. I never hear anything about the tight end market.
It has not exploded like the other ones. Who's the highest paid tight end in the NFL?
I assume it's Travis Kelce.
It is.
Or Kittle.
It's Kelce. How much do you think he makes on average?
18? 16?
17. So you're talking about...
I mean, I had a bookend.
You went on the left side and the right side.
I mean, I had a bookend, dude. Come on. What are we doing?
So you're talking about if Travis Kelce played running back, he would be the third highest paid running back in the NFL.
Oh, boy.
If he played receiver, he'd be the 23rd ranked receiver in the NFL. If he played offensive line, he would be the... what number is that? He would be the 37th highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL. So tight end is one that is not a ridiculous price value as it stands right now. Ferguson's had a year down. In fact, I'll give you some just quick projections. You tell me.
Real quick.
Yeah.
How much? So they've always had discussions in the build. How much of their discussions are, do we really want to bring him back? Like, do you think they want him?
Ferguson?
Yeah.
Yes, I think they do.
Okay.
I think they like him.
I like him too. I think he's great. I think he's a good, you know, he's a good interview, obviously, but I think he's a really good player. But, you know, he didn't have his best year.
No, but I mean, again, a lot of things were against off him, about last year. So here's the deal with, I'll give you contract projections for all these. You tell me if you feel like you can afford to do these right now. On Jake Ferguson, 4 years, $52 million, $30 million guaranteed. So that would give him $13 million annually. That would make him the seventh highest paid tight end in the NFL right now.
13 annually. It's four. How many? It's
four for 52 with $30 million guaranteed. So that's $13 million a year. That would make him the seventh highest paid tight end in the NFL. And it would put him a million above where Dalton Schultz is right now.
Yeah, that's the number you use, David.
And I think that's right around there. It would also make him the seventh highest paid in terms of total guarantee. So to me, that's an easy one that I think you get done right now. Next contract here, let's go with the one that seems a little more pertinent right now to get done. Daron Bland. Daron Bland, you go 5 years, $120 million, and you do $70 million guaranteed.
Help me with my math. What is five? How much is a year per year?
It's $24 million a year. That would make him tied with Sertan for the fourth highest paid.
Is he that good?
And the $70 million total guaranteed would make him fifth behind Denzel Ward, J.C. Horn, Sertan, and Derek Stingley.
Are you overpaying?
No, you're paying what the market says. Because if you look at right about, like, J.C. Horn making 25 is kind of absurd. Bland is definitely above Horn. And you're talking about Jair Alexander is about, you know, Jair Alexander has really come down. He's making $21 million here. He's fifth on the list. I think you absolutely have to pay Bland 24. He was an all pro. He's already been an all pro corner for you.
Okay. I'm down. Whatever.
So you're just easy. No problem.
Yeah.
You're in. Okay. All right.
They need players.
Next on this list is Tyler Smith. And this is the one where you might need to wait a little bit. 5 years, $125 million. That makes him the highest paid guard in the NFL, just over Trey Smith. And then you give him $65 million guaranteed, which would be the most guaranteed at the position by $2 million over Robert Hunt at the Panthers.
I think he's really good.
And already made a Pro Bowl, already been a second team All-Pro. You are projecting out a little bit, continued growth. So this is just, he is a prime candidate for, that's out of all those three, he's the prime candidate for, has the best case to say, I need to be paid at the top of the market.
All right, so 65 for Dak, 35 for Mike. Sorry, what's for 35 for Lamb? Mike is going to get 45?
Probably 40 to 42, I would guess.
All right.
But 60 for Dak, 35, it's actually 34 for Lamb. Probably, we'll say it's 41 for Micah. You've already got, what, 20 in Osa.
Man, you were looking at, oh, God.
And then 25 and 24 and Tyler Smith and Daron Bland.
That's $190 million for five players.
It's significant.
That's significant. It's the cost of doing business.
Yeah, I mean, look, you draft good players, you get, that's what it's going
to
end up
being. Listen, you're going to pay that money either way. Either you're going to pay it to your own, or you're going to pay it to guys that you don't know how they're going to, you know, react when they get here.
What's the easiest of those three to walk away from? On the Tyler Smith, Daron Bland, or Jake Ferguson one? I feel like you think it's Bland.
No, I think Bland is the... No, I think the easiest one to walk away from is Ferguson, because I think you could find Ferguson.
Okay.
I like Jake a lot, but I think you can find Jake Ferguson. I don't know, like, you know, finding a good corner is not easy.
No, I know that was the one that you gave some resistance to. Is that a little much?
That's just only because, like, you know, I don't know, is he the fifth best corner in the league? You know, like, that's how I'm looking at it, but.
Rex on the YouTube says, pay Bland in all caps. He wants that one getting done. I think you're right. It's probably Ferguson is the easiest one that you would move from, but, man, I think that at that value, that's still probably one where I'd say, get all three of them done, figure it out. Do whatever you did. 940, going to overpay for Bland just like we did Diggs, slightly above average corner. I would disagree, and I also think the mentality is different for those two players. I think the Cowboys feel like Bland is going to be more locked in than Diggs.
I think he's more than slightly above average. I think like slightly above average, I'm like, is a six. I think he's like a 7.5.
I think he's a really, really good player.
I think he's really, really good. I don't have a major problem paying him.